Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. My name is Penny Lacaso, and I'm the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million women how to flourish on their terms by 2025. The Hacking Happy podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel more of it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each day. If that sounds like something you could use a little more of, let's get started. Hello, beautiful happiness hackers, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast, landing in a new year, talking about new things, particularly this time round. We are in the depths of the campaign, which is Wonder Woman versus the present woman, and all about understanding why Wonder Woman isn't all that she's cracked up to be and why being the present woman can potentially unlock the life and the person that you long to be. And to start that conversation today, I have invited the beautiful Jess Connor. Welcome, Jess.
Thank you for having me. Very excited.
Very excited to have you here. Now, just in terms of a little bit of backstory for our listeners, Jess and I have not met. This is the first time we've kind of met virtually. We have been connecting on Instagram, which is where we originally started our conversation, off the back of my reaching out to you, I think, Jess. I stumbled across your profile, and then obviously we got chatting about burnout, as it turns out, and you had a really interesting story that I was very curious to hear more about and to equally share with our listeners, because I think what burnout looks and feels like can be different for each and every one of us. And the thing that I find most alarming in this space is that often women don't actually know they're in burnout until it's too late. And that's part of why I wanted to have you here to share your story. But before we get down to that, tell us, Jess, who you are as a human being. It's the question I start every podcast with. And we'd love to hear what that looks like for you. What does it mean to you to be human?
Oh, that's a really great question. I think going through what I went through, I had to actually find myself and find out who I am and what are my values and what does that look like for me. So during that process, I am someone who absolutely loves to be at the beach, have that time to relax and unwind, spend time with family and friends, and also support other people within businesses. So that's something that I really enjoy to do, and that's what I'm about. In terms of who I am out of business, I really am someone who loves to have a laugh. I like to enjoy the small things. And I think that is something I missed out on a lot. So it's so nice just to have those quiet moments and be present. It's such a different feeling than being on the go all the time. And yeah, that's really who I am at this point in my life. Someone who just goes with the flow and understands that there will always be differences that come and things that you need to go through, but you have lessons along the way.
Let's go back to before you had your own business. Let's go back to your life pre-burnout. Like, what was going on? What were you doing?
So pre-burnout, I was in a very high corporate role, a lot of pressure in there, a lot of hours. I was looking after a multi-million dollar business. So I was looking after three states at that time and quite a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. And then within that, I was also in the background going through a huge separation from a relationship. I kind of had a couple of big things happening. And at that point of time, I felt perfectly fine. I didn't realize that I was unwell. I would get up and go to work. I did know I was working long hours. I was doing 80-hour weeks.
Wow.
And that was normal for me.
For how long? And
I was doing that for a good 8 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm blown away that you were able to sustain that. And what was the age range from that 8 years? Like, what age were you?
I was or 21.
Yes.
Yeah, to 28. So I was actually in the peak of my career at that point. So I was really enjoying what I was doing. I had moved interstate for the role. I was expanding, was in a point where I wanted to get to that next level. So to me, I loved what I did. It was me. It was my life.
Yeah.
But with that comes a lot of sacrifices, as we know. So missing out on family events, friend events, a lot of things for yourself, like the self-care. And yes, so I kind of had not only the work, but this, as you could say, stress coming through from the separation and having to deal with that and getting through all of those tough times. And my way of coping is working. Throwing myself more deeper. I don't need to then deal with what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So is that like an insight now on reflection? Like what was... Yeah. So, and I think that's interesting, right? Because I always say busy is a distraction.
Yes, you know, it is.
And it's interesting because I'm studying trauma with Dr. Gabor Maté, and he always says where there's tension, pay attention. And what I observe in busy people is that they're basically busy to avoid the tension, to suppress it.
Yes.
Because to look at it is often painful, right? Because it's going to require... More often, not only is it painful, are the feelings painful, but to actually really do the work is going to require some change that comes with a lot of uncertainty, which I'm sure you've stepped into off the back of this experience. So talk to me a little bit about, and I'm always curious about this because a lot of women say to me, they really don't rest, right? And they say that, you know, they'll go to sit on the couch and take a moment for themselves and sort of their bum hits the couch and they feel that it's unproductive. So yes. I'm interested in your perspective around rest back then. Like, did rest even exist in your life and relaxation? What was your attitude towards it?
So at that point, as you know, when you're dealing with so much, you know, I did have quite a lot of team members reporting into me. And so I was on call all the time. So rest for me was... I would be lucky if I watched TV. I couldn't tell you if I really got the time to do that because I'd be working after. So I'd work in their stores to support my teams, come home, do work till midnight, sometimes one or two, because that's when you have time to get in and get your emails or things done. And then I was back in at stores, you know, at 7 a.m. So quite a lot going on. So rest was, if I got a chance to even... go for a walk, that would be amazing. That was really rare on my occasion. And even, this sounds really sad, but going to the grocery store, that was kind of my rest, my time. And that was literally what I got done for me. Looking back, I can see, you know, even going, the things that we love in the self-care, you know, having your hair done for an example, I would be there with my laptop. Yeah. I would be there doing things on the phone. I'm not actually taking that time to just switch off and be present in that moment. And I can see that when I look back, I'm like, I was very much, was a workaholic. And I can confess to that, I was. It was my way of coping and, yeah, really working through. But in terms of relaxing, I didn't go to the beach. There was one point for about 2 years. And that's my favorite place. It's a place where I do decompress. And I just did not have, in my mind then, the time. There was no time.
What was the catalyst? Like, what stopped you in your tracks? Because literally you did stop in your tracks, didn't you?
I did. It hit me hard. Well, it hit me in a few different ways to begin with, and I kept pushing and pushing. So the first thing that went for me was my voice.
Wow.
I lost my voice completely, and I don't mean where you've just got that brusque voice and you can still speak. I lost it to the point I was holding up like signs to people going, here we go, like this is what I need to do. I'd lost it.
And you kept going.
I kept going, and that went on for about 6 months. I ended up having like a mini quick surgery to see if that would help relieve some pressure around the vocal cords, and still was working. Didn't slow down, just kept going. And then it got to just before, I'm sorry, May in 2018, going across to another year. And I was about to present at a conference, very excited, love presenting, love talking. And I had this stomach pain and I couldn't work out what that was. And it got worse. And so I had to stop what I was doing. I couldn't actually go up and present. It was that painful, and was taken to hospital and had emergency surgery. And from that, I had had little signs before. I'd started losing kind of strength in my legs, in my arms. And then after this particular emergency surgery, I woke up and I started to do work again on my laptop in the hospital. And it was then that it hit me. I needed to really take this seriously. I've never had surgeries before. I'd never been really unwell. Still didn't have a voice. It wasn't coming back properly. I was doing speech therapy at that point. And then I decided, I had my mum fly in from Adelaide. I was in Melbourne at the time. And I said to her, I think I need to come home. I think I need to take some time off. I'm not going to rest here. And it was a very hard decision for me, but I need to do that for me because I'm not going to get better. And at that point, I just went downhill. So ended up having full-time care because I'd lost complete movement in legs. My arms, I couldn't even lift a drink bottle, push toothpaste out, couldn't really move them. My whole body was completely shutting down.
So, how did you know it was burnout? Like, was there a doctor? Like, where was the conclusion drawn that all of this? I mean, because what you say is, like, I talk all the time about how women get really good at walking over their body's warning signals, and how, again, it's like the busy and the distracting yourself with work is a means to disconnect from how you're really feeling. And the more you disconnect from how you're feeling, the easier it is to get past, you know, those freaking warning signals until it gets to the point with what you're talking about, which our physiology does, where it just says, I can't do this anymore, I'm shutting down.
Yep.
How did you discover that this was burnout?
I had multiple doctors because they were trying to work out what was going on with me, and I was going yellow, not yellow in the eyes. My skin was going yellow like Lisa Simpson. That's how the only way I can explain it. There was no issue with liver, nothing. Everything was coming back perfect. My blood work. Then I found in a really amazing rheumatologist, and he said to me, you are completely burnt out. Your body is just shutting down. It is tired. And because I spoke to him, and I said to him, like, I feel mentally fine, like perfectly fine. I can hold like conversations. I can do all the things. I just feel from here, my body and my head is disconnected. So yeah, he said to me, look, you've been through a lot. You're doing a lot of work. You're doing all these bits and pieces. You need to take the time to rest, and we need to put things in to help your adrenal glands are completely burnt. So let's look at ways to help manage and help get your body out of the flight and fight mode that you've been in for so long, because you haven't been aware that you've been in it. And I was like, no, I feel fine. I feel fine. That's what I kept saying. And he's like, well, your body's saying otherwise. It's storing onto a lot of things. And he was incredible. He wasn't just about normal medical, like medications. He was also about holistic and really working out where things were being stored in the body and how to work through that.
So interesting what you're talking about, because generally when we're pushing through, that's when you're in fight or flight.
Yes.
Sympathetic nervous system. But what your body has done is it's actually swapped over into parasympathetic, and it's activated freeze. Because basically it said we need to conserve every resource we have, which is completely limited. And the only way to do that is to shut things down. It's just interesting, again, how I'm reading the book at the moment, The Body Keeps the Score, how your physiology basically speaks to you. And it gets to the point where it's speaking and then you're not listening, and then it's like, right, I'm just going to start shouting at you instead, which is how it shuts down. I'm just going to interrupt for a moment and ask you, do you long to be more present, especially with the ones you love, but you don't know where to start and you're not confident you can do it alone? Are you ready to surrender the exhausting layers of should and step into reconnecting with what truly makes you feel joyful, provides you with meaning, and allows you to feel more alive? If the answer is a hell yes, the Present Woman Challenge was made for you. a 14-day challenge designed to empower you to reclaim your mindset, recharge your soul, and cultivate lasting joy and connection. Think sustainable, evidence-based action delivered to you in bite-sized pieces to reduce the mental load and connect you into the moments that matter more often. For all of the details and to secure your spot, check out the link in show notes. Now, back to our podcast. How the hell did you, I mean, this is probably one of the most extreme stories of, I mean, I've had a lot of burnout stories, but this, and this is why I wanted to have this conversation, because this is pretty severe, right, in terms of the impact on you. How do you come back from this? Because speaking to you in our conversations, like, your life is so different now.
It is very different. It is so different. And it took me a good, well, it's been like 4 years.
Yeah.
And I still have moments when I'm completely exhausted, and I'm so aware of it now. Like, I had to learn my body. I think that's the first thing. I had to learn how I was feeling, what didn't feel right. And I think I was so disconnected to my body, I would have never picked up on it, because I was just so focused on what I needed to get done and what that looked like and taking more things on.
Yeah.
So to get to where I am now was a lot of support, having the right people around me, but also I'm so proud of myself to take the time to work through the things I needed to work through and learn exactly who I am, because I didn't know who I was without my work. And that was a huge challenge, firstly, to overcome, you know, from doing that amount of hours to then not turning on your laptop or not having those things. I was very lost. And my motivation was to get back to work. That was what kept pushing me to, let's fix this body, let's heal it. I didn't know what that work looked like, because I'd been told by quite a very amazing team, you're not going to be going back to your capacity ever at that stage. And yeah, so it just started with small things. A lot of, I did trauma work, release things in the body. That was my first thing that I worked on.
And so when you release things in the body, was that somatic work? Like, was there a specific style of therapy that you worked with? Just curious.
Yes. So I did trauma release yoga. And that was, so once I had to start very slowly, because I had lost so much control of my body. So we had exercise physiologists working with me, things like that, to gain strength, even, you know, to learn how to lift things again. So starting way back, that's what I had to get through to be able to then do some of the yoga and things. And I remember one session in the yoga, and I was so tired, because at that point I couldn't drive anywhere and had full-time care taking me to places. And there was one pose they put us in, and it was like a hip opener.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never felt angry before. I was so angry, so angry. And I said to her, can I please get out of this like pose? Like, it's just, like, it's intense. And she said, you're storing it in your hips. If you're feeling it like this, you've got a lot of trauma around here. And you're like, and it's going, it would be going down your legs. And I'm thinking, well, that's incredible, because I haven't been able to move them properly for a while. I haven't had the strength. And yeah, so I sat with that, and I had to really, it was a challenge to do that and listen to what was coming up and not want to push it back down.
Yeah.
And I think also the emotion side. I had always been someone to push emotions down, not deal with them. I'll get to it later on. I was never a crier, so wouldn't cry. And then having to learn to do those things just to help release was, yeah, it's a big job, a big change. And now if anything upsets me, I'll cry at a drop of a hat. And I'm like, well, at least I'm releasing that. That's out of the body. It's gone.
Because you're now working for yourself, right? You run your own business.
Yes, so I do.
What happened on the work front? Like, how did you, like, did you quit work? Like, how did that land? And how did you end up doing what you're doing now?
Great question. The company I worked for in corporate was amazing. I had a very amazing boss there, mentor. So she actually held my role for the last 4.5 years. They wanted me back.
Wow.
They were very supportive of me doing anything that I needed to do to get better. Yep. And it was only this year that, like, well, I had tried to resign, but this year that they finally accepted that and understood that I have gone down a different path, and it's just at this point for my health and what I'm doing, I can't put myself back in that particular amount of hours and the workload. And so lucky in that avenue. And then through this, I decided I wanted to open a business. I've got the business background, so business management, and really wanted to create a space to breathe for business owners so that people don't go through what I did, because I just feel like there's not as long, we talk about burnout, but we don't really understand what it is and how it can look. And it can look different for everyone.
Completely agree. And I think that's the thing, right? I think that it's a bit like, I've been talking a lot about balance over the last couple of months, and it's like we're sold this kind of social definition of what something is, be it burnout, mm-hmm. balance. And what you realize when you really step into this space is that it manifests and comes out differently for everyone. There's no sort of one size fits all, which is why hearing these stories is so powerful, because it's really about being in tune with what your body is telling you and not ignoring those warning signals before it's too late, right?
Oh, and when you do, when you start to listen to your body and you hear it, it's incredible what you notice. Mm. You can also go down to what you feel like eating, like what your body wants. And it's just, oh, it's amazing. Because I look back, and as sad as it is, health was not in my priority top list. It is now, absolutely is. But yeah, I look at it and I'm like, why did I let myself get to that point? But I didn't know any different at that point as well. That was my journey. I needed to learn. I needed to learn to connect with myself again. And I didn't have lunch breaks most of the time. I was too busy working. I didn't eat. It would be the ice cream at midnight because, you know, obviously the body wants, it's trying to keep me awake, more sugar, and that doesn't help. So I wasn't eating properly either. So I think just a lot of things compiled. And now when I can really see the bigger picture.
I absolutely love, and again, I think I said this in our conversation when we were DMing on Instagram, is the fact that you have taken your own journey and your own story and your own experience and now turn that into a business to help business owners breathe, like you said, like actually giving them the space to breathe so that they don't burn out by supporting them. I'm really curious about what a work day now looks like for you.
That's a great one.
Yeah, like how, because obviously, you know, like you said, I think a lot of people will be shocked. I know a lot of people that work a lot of hours, but 80 hours a week, like over a very long period of time is like that's toxic. You know, no matter how much you love your work, it's extreme.
Yes.
So I'm curious now as to what does your work day look like and why?
Well, every day is a bit different, but what I kind of make sure I have in my business is, as I say, like my word is creating space to breathe. So in my calendar, there's space to breathe. That is locked in every single day.
How beautiful. But what does that look like when you say it's in my calendar? Like, is it like a time block of half an hour that says space to breathe? Like, what does it look like in the calendar?
I give myself a couple of hours, and that could be where I have lunch, I go and sit outside in the sun, whatever that is, or sometimes it might move down into the afternoon. But I always have those couple of hours for me. I need that time. If that means I need to go and have a nap and reset myself, I need to do some breathing, whatever that looks like, that's what I fit in that particular time. And that works for me. That just recharges me a little bit more. Sometimes that might be like, no, I want to finish for the day and I actually want to go and sit down and watch a movie, or I want to read my book. And it's something that I didn't have before. And it's now such an amazing part in my life where it's like I can switch off. I don't have to go 100 miles per hour. No one is judging me for that. My work is still getting completed and still at an amazing standard. It's not dropping because I take that time off. So that's important for me. In my weeks, I also structure a Friday in my business is my day within my business where I work on anything administration, anything I need to do without distraction. And I pick to do that because I feel like we have so many hats in business that we try and do things throughout every single day. Yeah. So we'll try and do what we need to do for the business, in the business, and we're kind of moving our brain around so much. that it can impact us more. It delays us, makes it slower. So I try and have one day, which is the Friday for mine, and then everything else I kind of get through. I definitely have my lunch breaks now. I make sure that I'm eating. I get away from the computer, which is a huge thing. And the other thing is having boundaries in place that I don't respond to messages and emails after hours now. And that's okay. People are happy to wait the 24 hours to get a response back.
Yeah.
No one's panicking, but I had in my mind you had to respond, you know, straight away so quickly. Putting that in place has been really great for me.
I'm curious, given the campaign we're running at the moment around Wonder Woman versus the present woman, which one do you prefer in terms of the life?
The present.
Yeah.
And I can say that very confidently. I am so happy in my life. It makes me emotional, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy where I am now. I love who I am as a person, my values, spending time with family, and the goals that I have for myself. I have really connected with me. And yes, I am, like you were saying, the intuitive part. I'm very intuitive now. I listen to everything that's going through. And it's just a different way of life. I don't believe there's a right or wrong. You have to find your own path. But for me, this is perfect. This is, yeah, more than I could have imagined. There was big goals with my older, like previous self, and I had to let go of those goals. But putting these new goals in now where it's like, you know, I would love to have a family and to do these things, and I have the time now and I can actually enjoy it. I would have been able to have a family, wouldn't have been able to enjoy the process.
What advice would you have for someone who feels exhausted and perhaps is listening to this and saying, I feel like my body's tried to talk to me and I might have ignored it? What advice would you have?
My advice would be take some time. And I know it's hard when you're feeling like you've got so much going on. Whether that is you sit with yourself, you go for a walk, you need to hear what's happening and give yourself some quiet time without all the noise around. Mm-hmm. Connect with that and then really start to look at what small changes you can make, because change is scary.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go in and change everything at once, but start to implement a few things for yourself so that you don't get to that point where you're absolutely done. You're so exhausted. You don't know what to do. That would be my big advice. And it would also be invest in your health now. Don't think of it as an expense, because if I look at it the other way, it is a huge expense.
Yeah.
You get to the point that you haven't invested in it or taken the time. It's so definitely invest in it. However that looks for you, do it.
Now, I think I'm noticing a beautiful crystal around your neck.
Yes.
Talk to me about that before we...
I
feel like there's some significance in that crystal.
Yes, I've got quite a few crystals around my office, but I connect with them quite a bit. And this particular one was one that just drew my eye, and it helps with keeping the energy clear around you, staying truth and using your voice. And that is something that is big for me. And as part of that trauma part, I had to learn to use my voice and be confident to use it. So it's just a reminder to me how far I've come, and I do have a voice in the things that I choose.
I want to close out with some, I want you to complete some sentences for me.
Yes, okay. Love to.
So complete the sentence, presence is.
Presence is beautiful.
Presence feels like.
Presence feels calm.
I wish presence would.
I wish presence would. That's a good one. I wish presence would, I think, stay with me continuously.
I practice presence by.
I practice presence by quietening my mind.
And the last one, which I absolutely love, is self-compassion looks like.
Self-compassion looks like spending time on me. Switching off, putting myself first, and being surrounded by joy.
Let's close out with joy. What does joy now look and feel like for you?
Being surrounded with the right people, smiling, laughing, and just seeing others being happy in that presence as well around you. It's a really beautiful feeling. And the joy is also the love that comes with that. The love of the people, the love of what, where I am and what I'm doing now.
Jess, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. Your story is a truly inspiring one, but equally, you know, it's quite a shocking one in the context of what you went through. So thank you for sharing it so openly.
Thank you for having me. It's so important. You know, knowledge is power, and we need to share that to help as many as we can.
I could not agree more. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram is where I mainly am. And it's at I am Jessica Connor with an ER. Or you can find me on my website at jessicaconnor.com.au.
Thanks, Jess.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans just like you to lead wholehearted and flourishing lives. If you enjoyed your listen, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something that resonated from this conversation, I invite you to take a screenshot and share your thoughts on social media. Tag me in so I can respond. If you've got a friend you feel needs to hear this episode, copy and paste the link and drop them a message now. It might be exactly what they need. Until next time, happiness looks good on you.